Now we will go on to the next speaker, who will be Abdul Bati Atwan, who is an editor in a newspaper in London.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, it is extremely difficult for me to talk and to give something new and interesting after the courageous man, Hans Sponeck, actually explain things happening in such a frank and courageous way. But anyway, I will try. I will start by personal remarks. I remember when I first heard that Denmark is sending 500 troops to Iraq. Personally, I was shocked. I was shocked simply because I couldn't believe it. I was born and raised in a refugee camp in Gaza Strip. When I was a little boy, barefooted, starving, hungry, we used to go to the camps of the Danish troops, Danish Scandinavian troops, which were walking under United Nations. We used to go for the camps to beg for food, and also to look at those nice creatures, blonde, blue eyes, coming to our part of the world. To beg food, to beg drink, definitely halal drink, soft drink, not Carlsberg, because we were very little. So we used to like them, really, we used to love them, because they were very kind. They understand us. They are not American. They are not British. They are not French. Those countries which were associated with imperialism, with occupation of our land. So we used to go and play football with them. We used to go and also when they play a game, football game or basketball game or something, we used to support them. You know, we said they are neutral. They are nice. So when I heard in the news that Denmark is sending troops, said, my God, many things changed for the last 50 years or 40 years and so. Why this little country, beautiful country, peaceful country, following the barbaric American and their worst adventure in that part of the world? This war against Iraq proved many things. But the most important thing, it does prove that the culture of lies, which is actually now a dominant figure in the Western civilization. We thought lies is just confined to the dictatorship in the third world. And the media of those dictatorships, especially in the Arab world, including Saddam Hussein. But we discovered that. I have been in London for a quarter of a century, for the last 25 years. I discovered that lies become integral part of Western civilization, which is a shame. When I said lies, look at what's happening. Before the war, I remember, before the first war and the second war against Iraq, the media, which we in the third world actually are considering it as a good example for us to learn from, objectivity, scientific, freedom, siding with the oppressed, it was full of lies. They told us, I remember before the first war against Iraq in 1991, we were told that Iraq is 6 months away from producing a nuclear bomb. And we discover that Iraq is centuries away from the nuclear bomb. And we were told that, you know, sleeping cells in London and Paris, they will go in there full of, you know, carrying a Samsonite, smart bags, and release the contents of these deadly bags, which is VX gas, in underground and trains. The same thing happened in the last war. Nothing like that happened. No sleeping cells, no VX gas, no smart terrorists in the underground. No nuclear bombs. Recently, before this war, we were told that, you know, this Saddam Hussein is a threat to Western civilization, threat to London, threat to Paris, threat to United States, and he has to be removed by force. And we discovered that after this war, after 12 months, he wasn't a threat. And they managed to occupy Iraq in less than 4 weeks. And they did not find weapon of mass destruction, but they created destruction. They actually use their military weapons to create this destruction. Iraq is destroyed completely. There is no Iraq now. Destroyed. It's the social structure is destroyed. Political structure is destroyed. Economic infrastructure is destroyed. Americans are expert at destruction, not construction. They are good at that. Seriously, wherever they go, they went to Somalia, they destroyed that country. They went to Afghanistan, they destroyed Afghanistan. Look at, they promised us 3 years ago that Afghanistan will be a prosperous country, it will be democracy, it will be human rights, it will be strong government. What's happening now? It's a full anarchy in Afghanistan. It's a failed state in Afghanistan. And now there is another failed state in Iraq. And they are saying, you know, Rumsfeld, he said, we are not expert in nation building. So why you are there then? Seriously, are you? Yes, they are not expert in nation building, but they are expert in destroying nations. And they are destroying us in the Middle East. Really, they are destroying us. They are humiliating us. And they ask why they hate us. Why do we love them? Give me one single reason to love the American in the Middle East or the Muslim world. I bet you. Give me one single. Even we like the experience, American experience, as a multicultural society. We love it as, you know, a country of nations. They managed to produce a superpower, multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious, all colors, dark, brown, black, anything. And they managed to produce superpower. Okay, that's a good example. And when we are looking for them to implement this good example on Palestine, on the Arab world, what they did. Yesterday, President Bush supported a Jewish state in Palestine, a Jewish state, a racist state in Palestine. This is unbelievable. Why don't you accept a multicultural state, a multi-religious, multi-ethical? Why not? They sent a delegation to the Muslim world, headed by Edward Jizerjian, who is Arabist and who is expert in the Middle East, and he was ambassador to Syria. To find an answer to the question why the Arab and the Muslim hate us. I remember I had a debate with him on the CNN, and he said, you know, he talked about many reasons, but he avoided the real reason. He said, in conclusion, that we should, I discovered that the Americans spent a billion dollars for the media and in a PR campaign to try to rectify the ugly American image in that part of the world, $1 billion. And when the host asked him, what do you recommend? He said, we should double this figure in order to win the heart and the minds of the people. Imagine that. He didn't say why they hate us. They don't want to know. They know, but they don't want to know. When they asked me, I said, look, you know, the problem is not in the salesman. The problem is in the product. It is a rotten product. You can't market your product in that part of the world because it's rotten. They told us we are there to liberate Iraq. Liberate Iraq of what? They imposed a sanction for 12 years in Iraq. And what's the outcome of this sanction? 1.5 billion Iraqi were killed in this sanction. It is the biggest or the greatest mass grave in history. And under the banner of United Nations, 1.5 billion Iraqi were killed. They said they are there to free Iraqi people. And they did free Iraqi people from Saddam Hussein, but they did not free them from the American. 15,000 Iraqi were killed in this war. 15,000, even latest war in Fallujah. Imagine, 4 Americans were killed and mutilated. I hate it. I condemned it. I was sickened to see it. But what's the reaction of this cowboy, American cowboy? They killed 700 people in Fallujah, in Little Fallujah. You know what it means, 700 people were killed? You know, imagine that Fallujah is 70,000. Its population is 70,000. 700, it is like 70,000 killed in New York. Imagine if Osama bin Laden killed 70,000 Americans in the Twin Towers attack. It is exactly the population of New York, about 12 million. The population of Fallujah, 70,000. So imagine 700. And the people could not find graves. They dig the football field in order to bury their dead people there. And they told us they are human. They are there to free Iraqi people, to stop the killing, and to make Iraqi better. And they told us also, another lie is that, they are there to fight terrorism. Saddam Hussein never liked Osama bin Laden. He never liked Islamists. He killed them. He massacred them, like everybody else, because he considered them a threat. So now there is Iraq is a base for terrorism. Osama bin Laden will be the happiest person on earth. I met him, I interviewed him, I know his thinking. He told me personally that if he managed to drag the American to the Middle East where he can fight them in his own turf, he will be the happiest person on earth. Now he got 150,000 American there and he is fighting them there and other people are fighting them. Another lies, they told us the people who are resisting this occupation or the liberation forces are the remnant of Saddam Hussein. And then when they discover that it's not the remnant of Saddam Hussein, then no, it is a combination of the remnant of Saddam Hussein and the foreign fighters. They don't want to say they are the Iraqi people who are refusing the occupation, who are resisting the occupation. They don't want to say that. They always telling lies and try to divert the attention from their ugly occupation of that part of the world. Iraq is a full anarchy now. And it's extremely difficult to control it. And they said they will transfer power and sovereignty on 30th of June. They are not going to transfer power. They will transfer anarchy to the Iraqi people. They will transfer killing and the lack of law and order in that part of the world. That's what they are going to transfer. They are doing this for two reasons. They are doing it first to consolidate Israel as a regional superpower, and second, to humiliate the Arab and the Muslim, and third, to take oil. Why they want the oil? They want the oil for many reasons. They want the oil first to control Europe, to control this old and the new Europe, because they know that Europe is a thirsty country for a continent for oil. So they cannot control it by the threat of the Soviet Union. Now they can control it by the control of oil. When you put your hand on the tap of oil in that part of the world where the two-thirds you control the whole world. The future war will be economic war. It wouldn't be military war. The second also, China is emerging to be the next superpower. And China got this common things with Europe, which is its need of Middle Eastern oil. So they went there to do that. I will give you just one example to confirm that. Just about a week ago, we were celebrating 10 years of Rwanda massacre. 800,000 massacred in Rwanda. The West did never interfere. The American did not interfere. They did not say there is a human tragedy there. We want to go and free Rwandan people from these massacres. Simply why? Because there is no oil in Rwanda. There is no Israel in Rwanda. That's the problem. They let the people, 800,000 were killed in that. I don't want to go on and on for long, but what I would like to say that the world is definitely worse than it used to be before. President Bush promised us that the war and terrorism after the removal of Saddam Hussein, the world will be much, much safer. The world is not safer at all. The world is more dangerous. This man is really, he is the danger. He and his new conservative are the danger for the whole international community. When 50% of a European, in a survey conducted by European Union, not by my newspaper, when they said, 50% of them said that America is a danger for the world stability and peace, I think this is significant. When the same people say, 60% of them saying that Israel is a threat to international peace and security, we must listen. We must listen before we destroy our all by ourselves. I will just give you one reference. American administration and the West spent $150 billion until now, $150 billion. Please underline this figure, $150 billion in the war against terrorism and the war to remove Saddam Hussein. Imagine if they spend this $150 billion to make the Middle East a paradise, to actually solve the AIDS problem in Africa, in order to create jobs for the starving people in Asia or Africa. Imagine how much better world we will live in. $150 billion. When you ask your government here, and British government, and American government to budget some money for education or for health, or for housing, they say, sorry, we don't have money. But when they want to invade other countries, immediately the money is available. That's the problem of this so-called Western democracy. When it comes to humiliating us, they find the money for that. When they want to go and kill and destroy, they find the money. But preemptive strike is good for military reason. Why we can't have a preemptive policies to prevent poverty, to prevent civil wars, to prevent mass killing in Rwanda? They don't believe in this. Just they plan to humiliate us, to actually destroy us. It is sorry to talk with such passion about what's happening in our part of the world, because as I said, you know, we understand the suffering because we live and this suffering, and we are in touch with our people who are really killed day after day by this American aggression against us. I would like to say also, I'm really sorry to see the media, the Western media, which is supposed to be advocating for democracy, for human rights, and to say the truth. Part of most of the Western media actually are siding with this aggression. And actually they are justifying the killing, justifying the humiliation, justifying the suffering of millions of people in the Middle East. You know, look at the Iraq, what's happening in Iraq. Instead of freeing the press, now they are attacking Al Jazeera. They are closing the newspaper of Muqtada al-Sadr, a newspaper which circulates 2,000 copies. Imagine 2,000 copies will actually affect, you know, the occupation, American occupation and coalition occupations of Iraq. And they are accusing Al Jazeera of lies. Why they are accusing it? Simply because Al Jazeera, by coincidence, have cameras in Fallujah, and they managed to show the words, the American atrocities there. Now they don't want anybody to see what's happening, the massacre they are committing. And I remember a colleague of mine of the BBC, he said, you know, but just by, he was outraged and said, you know, the American actually should bomb Al Jazeera. I said, this is your true democratic attitudes. This is your true professionalism. I said, you know, Al Jazeera is just showing what's happening. And we were told in journalism, or the first lesson in journalism, that pictures don't tell lies, but they want us to tell lies. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening.
Thanks a lot for a very impressive talk, as you really can hear and see. And now we continue to the questions.
Mr. Adwan, it has been very interesting to listen to you, and I confess I was a bit moved by your childhood image of Danish troops in the Gaza Strip. I think that's the way that a lot of Danish people prefer to imagine that our troops are also acting in southern Iraq. Different from the Americans. I don't know if that's true or not, since I haven't been there myself. But I wanted to ask you something else. You talk about why Muslims hate the US. And I understand that one of the reasons for this hate is that the American policy has supported so many authoritarian regimes in the Middle East. Now, let's say that the US had come to an agreement with Saddam Hussein, lifted the sanctions, started buying his oil, come to a settlement. Wouldn't that have been a continuation of the same erroneous policy of supporting authoritarian dictatorships in the Middle East at the cost of the population? Wouldn't that have been just as wrong and have fueled just as much hatred in the long run as the war and the invasion?
Thank you for your, again, challenging question. You know, the problem is, to answer these questions, It puts me in a very, very difficult situation. I admit, for the last 14 years, since the Iraqi problem started, we are terrorized, literally terrorized, in the Middle East by the accusation that of being Saddam Hussein apologist. If you try to say something reasonable, you are defending Saddam Hussein. If you are against the war, you are defending Saddam Hussein. Almost any defense of the, you know, of your, any anti-war attitudes immediately translated into you are supporting dictatorship, you are supporting mass graves, you are supporting, I'm not talking about you, I'm not talking about, you know, my own experience, sorry, you are nice and lovely. So I'll tell you, before the war, Saddam Hussein was no threat whatsoever. He was caged, literally caged. If you have a criminal, what do? To him? You know, you put him in a prison, and that's it. Saddam Hussein was literally a prison criminal. He was a threat to nobody at all, and he has no weapon of mass destruction, as we discovered. And to be honest, to be fair, he started to listen to the pressure in order to open up a bit. He was dictatorship, no question about that. He was a ruthless dictatorship. I'm not denying that. But in the end of his era, he was actually contained, and he was threat to nobody, and he was starting to accept the idea of opening up a bit. So, but anyway, if dictator cannot change their skins, you know, so maybe he wouldn't. He would like just to, but anyway, he was aging. He's 65. I don't think he will live like Noah for 1,000 years. So he definitely will go. And by the way, he was a dictatorship, and the Americans struck a deal with him when he was actually good dictator. I mean, when he was fighting the Iranian on behalf of the American and the West here, he was a nice dictator. So they made a deal with him. Even American Mrs. Thatcher, who's supposed to be the most radical conservative in Europe, she gave him a £400 million as grants. And the United States supplied him with all the military equipments and all the, you know, the technology, knowledge, and everything he wants from the United States. So they did deal with him when he was a dictatorship, and he was lovely one when he was serving their purposes. When he, after that, when he stopped doing so, or actually when there was a family feuds between the Bush clans and the Takriti clans in Iraq, when President Bush said, you know, the young Bush, and he said, he killed my daddy. I want to go and kill him. So he just, you know, simply because he tried to kill his daddy, he would like to take revenge, and we have to pay the cost for that. I believe even United States, until this moment, are supporting dictatorship in the Middle East. They are supporting rotten regimes in Egypt, corrupt regimes in Saudi Arabia, and silent toward another regime and dictatorship in Syria. And most the American, why we hate the American? Because they support the Israeli aggression, and actually they supported this dictatorship in the Middle East. So they are doing deals with these dictatorships. And yesterday, 3 days ago, they did a deal with Hosni Mubarak. As long as you help us in supporting Sharon plans in Gaza, we will actually stay silent about your violation of human rights in your own country. Sorry about that.
I certainly share a lot of your grievances about American policies in the Middle East. It's a horrific.
I wish you are in our place, you will understand more.
I would like to comfort you just a little bit about the Danish soldiers in Iraq.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the Iraqis actually do like them, and they even go to their camp and ask them to help them to write their political programs for the new political parties that they are establishing in the area of El Corner. I think that's very nice.
For how long? Wait for until the first Danish abducted.
Until last week, I mean, they were never shot at or anything.
Okay.
Anyhow. Maybe somebody has other information.
Well,
I would like to ask you something. All these flawed politics apart, I think our aim now is a legitimate government in Iraq. How do you see we can help the Iraqis to establish this government? I mean, this is the big issue now.
Yeah.
What is to be done?
The answer is very simple: to pull out of Iraq. Seriously, this is, you know, if you want to help Iraqi people.
But
if you want to help Iraqi people, you should put an end to this occupation. You know, we in our newspaper and in my interviews from the day one, and I wrote several articles, I said, you know, that the war will start immediately after the capture of Baghdad, not before it, because Iraq exhausted country, 14 years of sanction, and it is a third world country, we have to remember that. It cannot actually stand against Britain and the United States. So we know that the war will start after the occupation, not before the occupation. And it is started. We know that when we used to say that, they used to say, oh, you are a Saddam Hussein apologist. The Iraqi people will dance in the streets and throw flowers on the American forces. Yes, they do throw grenades on the American forces now. And they will do so, and they will continue to do so. And I will be shocked to see Danish soldiers abducted by the Iraqis or by anybody else, because, you know, they are really, they shouldn't be there, and they are too nice to be in these places. Well, we can help the Iraqi people by pulling out. They say that it will create anarchy, but it is already anarchy. It is already mass killing. It is already no law and order, no security. So what can be worse if the American pull out of Iraq? There is no security, no electricity, no water. Just again, I will give one example. 1991, the American threw 100,000 tons of explosions on Iraqis, on Iraq cities, 100,000 tons. They destroyed Iraq completely. They destroyed 135 bridges. What will happen? After a year, Saddam Hussein, this dictatorship, he rebuilt all these 135 bridges, and he restored electricity and water despite the sanction. Now we have a superpower, the most sophisticated superpower in history, and they cannot restore full electricity or full water to the Iraqi people or full health services. Imagine that. So, yeah, if they pull out, the Iraqi, definitely there will be anarchy, maybe there will be some, but at least the Iraqi will sit together and they will get together and they will reach a formula and they will rule themselves. But just, you failed. These coalition forces failed to bring security, to bring stability, to bring prosperity to the Iraqis. They failed to do so. And now they must leave. I'll tell you something. What the problem with the Americans, they raised the expectations of the Iraqi people before the war. Every Iraqi thought that Baghdad will be in New York, Basra will be Los Angeles, and Mosul will be San Francisco. That's the perception the Iraqi got before this war. And now they realize that it is not New York, it is not San Francisco, it is not even Mogadishu. And that's what's happening in Iraq. This is the problem. So please, you know, the solution is to leave. You know, you started this, I mean, the American, not you personally or the Danish government, because they started this destruction process. Now they failed. I agree with Hans Ponick. They must admit, you know, this is the essence of Western civilization. They must admit their mistake. They must be courageous enough to say, sorry, you know, we commit a mistake. Let us try to rectify this mistake and to make the Middle East much better, democratic worlds, by looking at the Middle East as a whole, not as very selective and through the Israeli eyes only.
Thank you. There is a brief follow-up question. No, we'll have to be brief now, because it's such an interesting discussion, and there will be only two possibilities now for the floor to come in.
Yes, thank you. My name is Søren. As far as I know, it's illegal to leave Iraq. Now, according to the Geneva Convention, it shows that Denmark is the occupation power, and in the Geneva Convention, Article 55 and 56 is written that we are responsible for the Iraqi people and the infrastructure and so on. The source are the Royal Danish Foreign Minister. The officer for that. So we can't leave Iraq. It's illegal according to international law. And in that case also, if we do that, as I think the Americans want to, we leave Iraq for... But we can't. We have to take care of Iraq until it's built up again. Okay. Thank you.
Another question?
Oh, thank you very much for this interesting question. You said it is illegal to leave Iraq, but it is legal to destroy Iraq. It is legal to go and to go and occupy a country. This occupation was not done according to the international law. It wasn't done according to the Geneva Convention. It wasn't done according to United Nations Charter. It is illegal occupation. And I will add something to you. Denmark actually will pay a heavy price by being part of the coalition. I'll tell you why. Because if it is illegal invasion, illegal occupation, you have to pay compensation for the Iraqi people in the future. You are occupying this country. You are destroying it. Exactly. If Saddam Hussein occupation of Iraq was illegal, and he occupation of Kuwait was illegal, and it was illegal, he paid $18 billion compensation for Kuwait until the invasion of Iraq. $18 billion. So this occupation is illegal too. 15,000 Iraqi were killed in this war, the recent war, and besides that, 1.5 million were killed under the sanction. This sanction was illegal because there was no weapon of mass destruction. This sanction was imposed in Iraq because there were weapon of mass destruction. Now there's no weapon of mass destruction. Who will compensate the families of those people who were killed? If we take Lockerbie example, each victim of Lockerbie received $10 million from Gaddafi regime. How many millions shall we pay for the Iraqis for victims of the American bombing? So your government in the future will pay for its participation in this unjust and criminal war in Iraq.
I'm sorry to say one more question. It's a very good and very interesting discussion, but we can only have one question more for the sake of time.
Okay, my name is Carsten Kofod. I'm the spokesperson of the committee, the Danish Committee for a Free Iraq. Our committee has firmly supported the legitimate resistance in Iraq, and we view the resistance as the hope for the Iraqi people, as it is the Iraqi people and nobody but the Iraqi people who should form their own future. For that, we have been harshly attacked by the governmental politicians, and now they want us banned. We support the resistance of the Iraqi people and believe that victory to the Iraqi people, a free and truly liberated Iraq, could be the real model of the Middle East. So, as we are speaking about the resistance, I would like to raise, I would like to make this question. What is your opinion about the view of big parts of the Western media describing the legitimate, internationally sanctioned Iraqi resistance as simply gangs of former Baathists and bin Laden groups? And additionally, what is the importance of the Iraqi resistance as regards the Middle East, especially the Palestinian liberation struggle, and the people in all over the world struggling for their liberation from imperialism and oppression? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the last, hopefully brief, answer.
How brief? Two words? I agree. Now, to be honest, the Western world were shocked to see resistance in Iraq because they were deceived by the so-called Iraqi oppositions, and some of them are crooks, especially people like Ahmed al-Jalabi and others who were actually feeding the administration or the Pentagon actually with the wrong information with the help of the Israelis about the weapon of mass destruction in Iraq. So actually they used the American muscles in order to achieve their aims of toppling Saddam Hussein. So, and they actually told the American that, and it will be a picnic. Just you know, you will go there, and the Iraqi people will dance in the street in reception of you and getting rid of Saddam Hussein. So, resistance is legitimate. It happened everywhere in the world. All countries resisted the Nazi occupation in Europe. So why the Iraqi people will accept the American to teach them democracy? You know, the irony is, Iraq is 8,000 years of civilization. They introduced the first written law on earth. They had at least four civilizations, four empires. And the American who just discovered 400 years ago to teach the Iraqi democracy and human rights and how to run their own affairs. This is insult to humanity, to be honest. What's the American contribution to the civilization? Hamburger and Coca-Cola? Look at the Iraqi contribution. That's the problem. You know, when they lecture us about, you know, democracy, human rights, okay, yes, it was appalling to have this dictatorship, but who imposed them on us? It is the American administration, simply because they want oil, and they want to use these corrupt regimes to protect Israel and to protect the aggression of Israelis. So I think Iraq will resist, and this resistance will prevail. It will be victorious in the end. Exactly. You know, there is 200 members of United Nations. 180 or 170 of them actually passed through the same process. They fought the occupations, they fought the imperialism, and in the end they got a full sovereignty. And that's exactly what will happen in Iraq. And also the victory for the resistance in Iraq, which will come, and you know, like everybody else, like what happened in South Africa, what happened in Algeria, what happened in Africa, what happened in Southeast Asia, in Vietnam, it will come to Iraq. And once the Iraqi are emerged victorious of this, definitely this will reflect positively on Palestine. Definitely there will be a true peace in Palestine, because in the end they will realize that they cannot continue with these atrocities. They cannot continue supporting the aggression of the Israeli in that part of the world. We would love to see the experience, the coexistence, and which is taking place in South Africa to be repeated in Palestine. The only solution is we must live together. We can live together. You have a multicultural society here. We have the most successful example of prosperity in the world are the multicultural, the multi-ethnic, the multiracial societies. Look at Canada, United States, New Zealand, Australia, and lately South Africa. There is no civil war in South Africa between white and black. There is coexistence in democratic basis, one man, one vote, equality. If this prevails in the Middle East, we'll have a very prosperous Middle East and without the intervention of the American. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abdel Bari, that one, for a contribution full of indignation, temperament, and humor. Thank you.